I had a cousin that I was raised up with. He was a year older than me. His name was Bill Kitts, raised up in South Point. And he left here out of high school and went in the military. And he was a career man in the military and ended up in Anchorage, Alaska, and got out of the military up there and formed his own business and become a millionaire, very wealthy man. And I hadn't seen him for years. He's my hero. He's my idol. He's an all-state football player. He was something special. And hadn't seen him for years and years and years. And I had an aunt died here just about 3 weeks ago. And Bill Kitts came to that funeral. And I seen him there at that funeral. And it was just my goodness, I run up and hugged him. And that feeling that I had for him is nothing compared to the feeling that we have for one another. This is a special time. And I thank God. I thank God for this opportunity. Won't go any farther. It'll get cloudy. Turn, if you will, tonight to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I've entitled this, Comfort in a Time of Trouble. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, Solomon, this wisest man that ever lived. And Solomon here in Ecclesiastes, he's speaking under the behest of the Spirit of God. He's speaking by the influence of God Almighty. And he says, to everything there is a season. There's a time to every purpose under the heaven. He says, to everything there is a season. Everything in our lives. Everything. We have just entered into this fall season. It's my most favorite time of the year. It's a beautiful time of the year. The season has changed. That hot, sweltering, dry summer has given way to this season. And what we know about this fall season, it has its beginning. It'll have its duration. It'll have its completion. Solomon said, all things has their season. Everything in our lives. In our lives, Solomon here mentions 28 things. There's a time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. All those things. He mentions 28 things. That's just an overview of the hundreds and thousands of things that happen in our lives. Our lives is a constant, never-ending season of these things that come into our lives. We have had times of untold joy, amazing, abounding joy. We've had times of sorrow. We've had times of grief and pain. We've had times of sickness. We've had times that come into our lives. They're for a season. They have their beginning. They have their duration. They have their completeness. They have their end. Solomon said, to everything, there is a season, a set season, beginning, completion, and end. Has its fullness, whatever it is that it has. And he goes on and he says, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. God's purpose. God has a purpose in these things. There is these things for a season. And every one of them are purposed by God Almighty. You believe that? I know you believe that. We believe that. The world don't believe that. We believe that. Paul writing under this same subject over there in his letter to the Romans, 8:28. Y'all can quote it. Y'all know it. Most of you better than I do. And we know, Paul's including himself and he's including those believers that he's writing to. We know. That's us. That's the church in our day. We know. We know that all things, there's that word again, all things work together for good to them who love God. You love God? Well, yes, I do, because He first loved me. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called. Have you been called? Has the Spirit of God reached in among that common lump of mankind? Has He reached in and separated you and pulled you over here exclusive from that? He called by His Spirit, breathed life into you, opened your eyes and you saw Christ and you fled to Christ and cling to Him? And rely on Him and trust in Him. Paul said, we know. All things work together for good to them who love God. To them who are the called. according to His purpose. Purpose. I remember one of my favorite Henry Mahan stories. Way back there, Cecil probably was there. Way back there in the late 40s or 1950, Rolf Barnard had come to town. And he was preaching. You that don't know Rolf Barnard, he had the most intense, piercing eyes. It was just scary when he'd look at you. Just, oh my goodness, you wouldn't even look at him. He was up there preaching, and Henry was sitting there on the front row. Henry was about 24 years old, just a kid. And Rolf was preaching along. He said, "Can you quote Romans 8:28?" And Henry said, I think I can. And he said, "Well, stand up and quote it." You know, I had them eyes right on Henry. Henry got up there, and he said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." And he sat down. And Rolf just stared at him with that piercing eyes. And he said, "Is that all of it?" And Henry said, "No, that's not all." He said, "Do you know all of it?" And he said, I think I do." He said, "Get up and quote all of it." Henry jumped up, you know, and he said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And Henry sat down. Rolf, man, he slammed that table. Purpose! You get a hold of that word and it'll open this whole book. It'll open the Word of God. God's a God of purpose. Everything He does. There's no accidents. There's no surprises. Everything God does, He does on purpose. And we believe that. And we know that. And Solomon, writing back there, he said, to everything that happens, everything that happens in your life, in my life, in the life of all of His children, everything, it has its season, has its beginning, has its fullness, it has its end, and it's according to God's purpose. Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful in this last year that we have scriptures like this that we can cling to and rely on and trust in? Everything that happens in your life, it's according to the purpose of God Almighty. He don't say we'll understand it. He don't say we'll understand and unlock all the mysteries and treasures of it. He just said it's purposed. I've caused it to happen. It'll have its completeness. And then you'll move on to another season. I've purposed it, He said. And I thought when I was looking at this, I thought, Frank came down and preached down at Grace Fellowship here about 3 weeks ago. And Frank said, "I'd preach out of the Old Testament all the time." He said, "I just have to force myself to get over in the New Testament." Boy, I just about jumped up and grabbed him. I love that Old Testament. I love these. God don't ever change. His purpose don't ever change. The way He deals with His people don't ever change. He's immutable. He does what He will, when He will, with whom He will, all throughout His creation. And I thought when I was looking at this, I thought, where could we go back to and develop this theme, this all things work together. And to everything there's a season and a purpose under God to all these things. Where would we go back and look at that? And I thought, well, let's go back and look at when God delivered the nation of Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians. Turn back to Exodus chapter 14. Very familiar scripture. You all know this story that's in here. And we're going to just talk about it a little bit here tonight. And I hope the Lord will bless these things I have to say. Now, let's bring us up to this Exodus chapter 14. Let's go back a little bit and talk about this nation of Israel. Way back there, 500 years prior to this, there was a man named Abraham. Lived down there in a place called Ur of the Chaldees, an idolatrous country, heathen country. Abraham was just like everybody else down there. He worshipped idols just like everybody else. And God set His love on that man. He said over there in Deuteronomy, He said, "I didn't choose you because you were greater in number than anybody else. I didn't choose you because of that. You were fewer in number." He said, and He goes on in verse 7, and He said, "I chose you just because I would. I set My love on you. I chose you because the Lord loved you." And He called that man Abraham. He spoke to him. He said, "Abram, get thee out of thy father's house. Leave this country and go to a land I'll show you." And Abraham believed God. And he left and took his wife with him. And God led him up there. He said, "Come up here." And He said, "I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make your seed as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore." And He said, "All the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you." And Abraham and his wife, they went up there. And He said, "Let me tell you about this land I'm going to bring you to. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. You've never seen anything like it." And Abraham followed him up there. And he got up there. And when they got up there, you know what they found? this place that God had promised. He said, follow me. I'm going to lead you to the promised land. And they got up there, and you know what happened? They was in a famine up there. That land God led, this is who He separated from that common lump of mankind. He called this man. Today's religion would say, all you got to do is just make a decision for God. All you got to do is tithe. All you got to do is pray. All you got to do is all these things. And He's going to bless you with everything. You're going to have the finest home and the finest house. All your kids are going to be healthy. All the boys are going to be 6'3", and all the girls are going to be beautiful. That's today's religion. What's the Bible say? This special man, the beginning of the nation that God would come through Himself in the form of Jesus Christ. He called him up there out of this heathen country. He was 70 years old. He probably had already lived a life of prosperity, probably already made his first million, you know, living down there, happy as could be. God said, leave these people. Come up here where I'm going to show you the promised land. And they went up there, and they walked right into that promised land. And there was a famine. There was a famine. People dying from starvation. People dying from starvation. This is God's chosen person right here. This is who He set His love on from the foundation of the world. And He brought him up there. Set him right there in that country. Everything was dying, starving to death. And cattle, you could see all the ribs. There wasn't no fat cattle there. The field was full of dead cattle. And the people was dying, starving to death. There was a famine in the land. And God brought this man up there. How do you explain that? To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. God planned it. God purposed it. And He brought him up there at that very time. Don't ever forget that when things get tough. Don't ever forget it when you just can't. How am I going to get through this? How am I ever going to get through this? How'd Abraham get through it? Same way we will. God let him through it. God let him through it. Now, He promised him a seed that would be like the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. Abraham believed God. And he went up there. Now we're going to jump ahead 200 years. 200 years. 200 years and they'd been in that promised land. After they come back, they went through that promised land during that famine, went down into Egypt, and God plagued those people, and they gave Abraham all those things, and Abraham came up a wealthy man. And he came up and God said, walk through the length and breadth of this country. He said, everything you see, I'm going to give it to you. And He made that promise again to him. He said, your seed's going to be as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. He's an old man now and he don't even have a son yet. And we jump ahead 200 years. And 200 years, we find this man, Jacob. And God changed his name to Israel, Prince of God. And we find this man, Jacob, after 200 years of living there in the promised land. And God defending them and fighting for them and providing for them and blessing them. And the grand total of the nation of Israel, it's going to be as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. 70 people. 200 years later, 70 people. To everything, there's a season and a time to have a purpose under heaven. The world will see this and say, boy, this is an absolute failure. You better find you some other God. No, no. And Jacob begins to take that whole nation of Israel down into Egypt, this idolatry-laden country, this heathen country. And they start down there. And Abraham's an old man. And he stops at a place called Beersheba. And there he worships God. And God appears to him in a vision. And he said, Jacob, don't be afraid to go down there in Egypt. Don't be afraid to go down there. He said, I'm going to make of you a great nation down there. But he said, now Jacob, your son Joseph, He's going to put His hands on your eyes. You're going to die down there. You're not coming back. Think about this. Think about this in our day. This is God's people. This is God's special people that He loves. He loved them and separated them and defended them and provided for them. And they're in a time of trouble. They're in a time of trouble. This is an old man, Jacob. Think about this. I thought about this. This is a believer that believed God, walked with God, and God dealt directly with him. And this old man now, he's leaving his country. And he's gone down there to, how would you like to be? I'm 61. Andy's, how would you like to see Andy Johnson, an old believer there, an old warrior? And God pluck him up and take him over there in the middle of them heathen Islam over there. Take him over and drop him right in the middle of Iran. That's what's happening here. This is Jacob. He's an old man. He ain't coming back. How do you explain that? To everything there's a season. and a time to every purpose under heaven. That's how we explain it. That's how we explain it. Now we jump forward another 200 years. We leave Jacob. Jacob dies there. 200 years has passed now. And God hears the cry of His people. Moses is now 80 years old. Moses was born during this time of down there in Egypt. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's own home by Pharaoh's daughter. He got 40 years of age. He went out and seen one of these Egyptian servants abusing one of the Israelites. He slew that servant and fled for his life. And he went back to the backside of the desert. And he's back there 40 years. He's 80 years old. He's Henry Mahan's age. 80 years old. There he was back there on the backside of the desert. He seen that. He said, I'm going to turn aside and see this amazing sight. There's that bush that burned up there. And it's not consumed. And he went up there to it. And God appeared to him in that burning bush. And he told him, he said, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. I've heard their cry. And he said, I want you to go down there. He said, I want you to go down there and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses did. Moses left. He went down there. 80 years old. Old man. He went down there and went right into the very throne room of the most powerful monarch on the face of the earth. And he walked right up to the throne. And he said, I'm here on a mission. God Almighty sent me down here. And he said, the God of Israel has said, the Lord God of Israel said, Pharaoh, let my people go. Now, today's religion and the thoughts of today is, you know, there's power, and the Lord's got power. And the Lord can do anything He wants. And all you got to do is accept Him, and all you got to do is these things that they say to do, and you'll have this power. I see these fellows on TV all the time. I turn that crazy Daystar on just to see. When you think you've seen it all, I think, well, wonder what they'll do tomorrow. Well, tune in. You'll stand up. They'll jump through barrels backwards, you know. It's crazy. But they're always talking about rebuking Satan, you know. I just said to Satan, just get away from me, you know. Just rebuke him. Here's God's man that we know. We know Moses is God's servant. We know God. He's God's ambassador into this very throne of Pharaoh himself. And he walks up there and he said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. Well, how easy would it have been? How easy would it have been for God Almighty to reach in there and twist that man's heart, just squeeze that man's heart, and that man just blurt out, get out of here. By all means, take these people and leave. He could have done that. He didn't. He didn't. Pharaoh looked at Moses and he said, I don't know your God. And I will not let those people go. And he severely taxed them, worse than the bondage that they'd been in before. And then you know the rest of that story. Ultimately, he plagued those people with those 9 plagues. And then he said, yet one more time I'll plague these people. And they will surely let you go. And the death of the firstborn. You know that story. And they come out. God delivered them with a high hand. How do you explain that? How do you explain, here come Moses. Moses come up there and he said, let them go. I'm not going to let them go. I will not. I don't know your God, and I will not let them go. To everything there is a season, and there is a purpose. God has a purpose in these things. This is God's children. This is His special children. And He ultimately, He does deliver them. But they're in severe, severe bondage until He does deliver them. It's these special people of His love, children of His pasture. And yet they go through these things. We will too. Our Lord Himself said, He said Himself, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will. Don't be surprised if you do. It's a promise. You will have tribulation. But He said, be of good comfort. I've overcome the world. He has. And ultimately we will when He's pleased to bring us to Himself. But until then, we're going to have these seasons and these things. And there are going to be troubles. And there are going to be trials. And they're going to be painful. And it's for His purpose. It's for His purpose. Now ultimately, God does lead these people out. And in that, here in Exodus 13, look at verse 21. He led these people out with a high hand. And the Lord went before them. He went before His people. Now all the old writers calculate that there was somewhere around 2 million people. Some of them, John Gill says 2,400,000. I don't know how he knows that. He just put a number, you know. 2,400,000 Israelites that left Egypt. And God led them. And it said the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. And He to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. To go by day and by night. Evidently these people, well, should this surprise us that these people was on a steady march day and night? That they had the sun by day and this cloudy pillar that led them? This is the way we go? This miraculously display of God's power would follow that pillar of cloud by the day, and at night it become a pillar of fire and lit up that whole area? Well, their shoes, they wore the same shoes for 40 years. Their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years, you know. He supplied them everything to eat and everything to drink. Why should it amaze them that they couldn't make a sustained march away from Egypt as He provided the pillar of cloud by the day and the pillar of fire by night? And He led them out there. And they kept going. And they kept marching. And they kept marching. And look here in chapter 14 and verse 2. Chapter 14 and verse 2. And our Lord, He said to Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hi-hiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall you encamp by the sea. Now keep remembering this. This is God's special people. Like we're God's special people. We're the Lord's special people. We've been separated. We've been called by the Spirit of God. He's breathed life into us. We have the Spirit of God in us. We're His special people. And He leads us and defends us and guides us and directs us and provides everything for us. Like He did these people. And He led these people out of Egypt. Get this picture. Here they go. Here they go. And this pillar of cloud takes them right out there to the edge of the Red Sea. And there's no place to go. There's no trees to hide behind. There's no caves to get into. There's no rocks to hide behind. They got no weapons. They got nothing to defend themselves. And there they stop. God's going to ultimately open up that Red Sea. He didn't do it now. What's He telling them to do? These Egyptians back here, now they're making some strategies to come after them. And God brought them out there. And what did He tell them to do? Get across that Red Sea. You get across that Red Sea, you're in safety. No, He said, sit down right here. Camp right here. You wait right here. Sit down, be still, and wait on the Lord. Be still, I say, wait on the Lord. And there they sit. There they sit. Why didn't He just open up the Red Sea? Why didn't He open it up right then? And they could have gone right on dry ground and went on and be gone before the Egyptians ever regrouped. But He took them out there. This is these people. This is us. Takes us right out there. He said, sit down. You sit down and wait. You wait for me. And He did. And there they sat. Well, all this time, how do you explain that? How do you explain that? To everything, there's a season. And there's a time to every purpose under heaven. God's purpose. He's got a purpose in this. This is His people. People He loves. Back here in Egypt, they had a change of heart. You know, Pharaoh came and got Moses there at midnight there. And he said, get out of here. Take everything. Take your children, your little one, your livestock. Get out of here. Go. And he said, bless me too. They'd had one encounter with the God of Israel. And boy, did He make a mess of them. Well, now they've changed their mind. And they said, what'd we let them people go for? Why did we let them go? Why did we let them go? We didn't let them go. God with a mighty hand brought them out. He'll bring us out too, no matter what difficulty this world throws out there. And they changed their mind. They said, let's go get them. They had evidently heard that they were entangled in the wilderness, that they'd gone out there and camped. They didn't know where to go, what to do. There they sat. That's all Pharaoh knew. He said, let's go get them. And they got their horses together and they got the chariots. And Pharaoh got his chariot all harnessed up, you know, and they got all their weapons of war, and they got called up the reserves and the army and all the people, and they said, let's go get them. And they come charging after them. Here they come. And there sits the people. And they're camped. And they're just waiting. And here comes that army. And they look up. They look up. This is the finest army on the face of the earth. This would be like in our day. There's nothing to match our army. Nothing on the face of the earth to match the might of the United States military. Nothing. Well, here come Egypt. That's what they were in their day. And these people didn't have anything. They didn't have a place to hide. They didn't have anything to defend themselves with. There they sat. They were camped. There they sat. And here they come. They lifted up their eyes and they seen. They seen Him coming. And they wept. They cried. They cried to the Lord. Exodus 14, verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and they cried out unto the Lord. Remember that list over there in Ecclesiastes 3? He said there's a time to weep. There's a time to weep. Solomon gives 14 sets of opposites in that Ecclesiastes 3. Time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up. And down there in verse 4, he said, there's a time to weep. Do you know something about that? Do we know something about weeping? Then he goes on and he said, and there's a time to laugh. There's a time to rejoice and dance and kick your heels. There's a time for that. This is a time to weep. The children of Israel, this is God's special people. And He's brought them out there in a time of trouble. And He said, sit down right there and wait. And here comes the enemy. How do you explain this? How do you explain God's people? God's the people of His love. There they are in harm's way. How do we explain that? To everything there's a season. And there's a time to every purpose under heaven. God's got a purpose in this. God's got a purpose in this. And this, when it gets beautiful right here. This is beautiful right here. Exodus 14, verse 19. Look at this. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel and led them right out there at the edge of the Red Sea. And he said, camp right here and wait till them Egyptians catch up with you. He said, don't move. Don't leave this place. Stay right there. I put you right out there in plain view of the whole world. And you don't have anything to defend yourself. You're relying solely on me. And there they sat. And this pillar of cloud that led them by day, this visible showing of display of the absolute power of God, what did it do? Look there. The pillar of cloud went from before their face, and where did it go? Went around behind them. Right like this. Here they come. Here comes this army. Here's God's people. You remember, we go down to the beach. We've been gone for several years now. This is crazy, but I think it's a pretty good illustration. We go down there, and we always rent a beach house right on the beach. And we go down there, and we pull up in the driveway and unlock that door, and I run right in the house, throw them suitcases on the bed, and I go straight out the other end of the house, go down that walkway, and go right down on the beach. I run right out to the edge of the water, and that water is just licking there at my feet. And I look at that massive, massive expanse of water. And you know, when God rolled this all in place, it's like He stood there, and I think of this every year when we go down there. It's like He stood there and He said, right here, and no farther. You'll come no farther. This is as far as you come, right here. And it's been that way ever since He spun this world in space. And He said right here, Moses said that pillar of cloud, it went from before him and went and stood between them and the enemy. You remember when our Lord, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, the next day He would be hanging on the cross. And they come there to arrest Him. They sent them the servants of the high priest. They sent the army. They sent some just... This was a lynch mob. This was a vigilante committee. And they come out there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And our Lord was out there with His disciples. And He was out there and He was praying. That's when He sweat those great drops of blood come out of His... Because He knew what... He'd set His face like a flint. And tomorrow He would be hanging on the cross. And the Father would turn His back on Him. And He was out there with this inner circle, his special people. And they come out there. Just get this picture. There they all are there. And He's talking to them. And they're praying. And He's telling them about what's going to happen and all that. And here comes this lynch mob. And they're all there together. The 11 are there. Judas is already gone. And our Lord's there. There's 12 of them. And they're talking, fellowshipping. They love Him. He loves these people. And here comes that lynch mob. And He removes Himself from these 11 people. And He goes out there and He meets this vigilante committee. And He says, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. If you seek me, isn't this beautiful? If you seek me, let these go their way. Let these go their way. I'm going to die for these people. They're my special people. I love these people. That's what I came for, to redeem these people. You seek me, take me. But you let these go their way. That's what's happening here. That's what's happening here. The Lord, in that visible presence of His power and majesty, He separates Himself from the front and He goes around to the back. And He shields His people from the danger to come. To everything. To everything. We're not going to get tired of this, are we? To everything, there's a season. And there's a time to every purpose under heaven. And He stands there. And it says in the morning watch, and there's light over here on this side. Where His people are, there's light. His people have light. We have light. This Scripture is not it's just not words to us. This is not cold, dead doctrine. This is Christ. This is our Lord who died for us and breathed life into us. And we're new people. And we can cry, Father, Father, Abba, Father. This is not just cold, dead words. It's life. We have light. And on this side of that cloud, they had light. And all that night, that Red Sea came up in a heap. And in the morning watch, it said, and the Lord looked through that cloud. Where is that? Let me see if I can find that here. I'm not going to find it. But it's in chapter 14. But the Lord looked through that cloud and He saw those Egyptians over there. Where was He at? He was with His people. He was in the presence of His people. And He's in our presence. He's with us. Whatever He brings us in, whatever trouble and trial and pain and sorrow and grief and sickness, whatever it is, He's with His people. And He looked through there and He saw those Egyptians and He knocked the wheels off their chariots and the people of Israel, they marched through on dry ground. They marched through and it was gone. They was delivered. They were delivered. And the Egyptians come in after them. Moses held that rod up over the Red Sea and it came in and destroyed every one of them. It destroyed every one of them. Well, it's an old story. It's a 4,000-year-old story. What happened way back there? How is it pertinent in our day? How does it have any pertinence to the day we live in? Those people back there, God called Abraham. He called that man out of a heathen, idolatrous country. And He said, follow me. He said, you believe me, Abraham? I believe you, God. He said, follow me and I'll take you to a land. I'll show you a land like you've never seen before. And he followed God. And in our day, the Lord He's called us. He's called us specially, called us by name, called us out from among this world of heathen and idolaters. He's called us. And He's given us life. He's breathed into us the breath of life. And we see Christ. And we run to Christ. And we flee to Christ. We hold on to Him. He holds on to us. He'll never let us go. We'll never let Him go. And yet we're going to have trouble. We're going to have trouble. Well, I was talking to John Friday night, and John said he used this term, and it's a good term. He said, it's been an odd year. Solomon writing in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 4, he said, there's time to weep. Do we know something about that? We know something about that. But he said, oh my goodness, there's a time to laugh. There's a time to rejoice. There's a time to... And we do. We rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down here. He took our sin on Himself. He went to the cross and He died for me and you. And He gave us a perfect robe of righteousness. And He breathed into us life. And that... When He hung on the cross and that veil was rent in twain down there in the temple, He gave us access to the Father. And He told us to pray this way. Our Father, collectively pray this way. You individually pray, My Heavenly Father, My Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. We have that. We have access because of what He's done in us. If we go there with just the old man, we have no access with the old man. He's not going to hear the old man. No matter how you spruce it up, no matter what kind of ribbons and bows you put on it, no matter how much it gives and gives up, He's not going to hear the old man. He's only going to hear what He put in you. That He planted in you, that's what He's going to receive back. That's perfect, undefiled. It's beautiful. That's what He's going to receive. And we have that. By His grace, we have that. And we have access to the very throne room of our Heavenly Father. And we go to Him. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy salvation. Oh, it's rich. And it's free. And it's free. Well, don't ever forget all things. I've been studying for this, and I've been telling old Dale, and I'm telling him again tonight, and you're just listening in. I've just hammered this home. Don't ever forget, Dale. Don't ever forget all things. I need to be retold this and retold it and all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All things. And we take joy in that. And that season of weeping, it gives way to that season of laughing, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. I've asked Brother Mike if he'd sing one of my favorites, and he does it better than anybody I've ever heard. Till the Storm Passes Over. Thank you all so much.
Turn to 586. Y'all can help me on the chorus. 586.